Everybody on this call could take a minute right now. What are your three wins over the last week? And shift the way you're viewing the world. And then when we do that and we just recognize those wins, and then we start to ask the questions of, hey, what should we do next? Or how can we look at this situation or problem? All of a sudden, our mindset is like actually focused on finding solutions as compared to just unpacking problems. I'm all for aggressive goals as long as we both agree that we set the aggressive goals and we choose to live in the game. Like, we're going to measure your success not by how far away you are from that goal, but by the progress that you make.
The ideas that we talk about in this episode today are really only as good as your ability to implement them. If you're a growth-minded contractor who wants to systemize faster, our content, our coaches, and our community has you covered. Book a call with our team today in the link in the description.
You're listening to Contractor Evolution, the podcast by Breakthrough Academy, where we systemize contracting businesses for growth. Keep listening to learn how the world's top contractors scale their companies, build killer teams, and make more while working less.
Jason, thanks for coming on the show today. Dude, I am stoked to have you. You have some of the most unique perspective in all of the BTA coaching realm, primarily because, and we'll get into this today a little bit, but you have been a member within Breakthrough Academy and gone through the process, and then you shifted to actually being a coach, where you've been working with our members and seeing kind of on both sides of the curtain how this whole thing works in business and how we do what we do. So stoked to have you, and wanted to kick off with some questions around this even, which is, being a member in Breakthrough Academy, being in the kind of like entrepreneur management development of your own business realm, and then making the shift over to coaching, what led to this? Like, give us a bit of a backstory of what's going on and how you got to this place.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. Thanks for the opportunity to be here. I feel honored to be here. And BTA has been such a great part of my life over the last number of years. And now to be able to be a part of the team just for this last year, it's been absolutely incredible. Yeah, when I think back about that transition of going from running the day-to-day of a business, of like a contracting business, and then actually becoming a coach, it was really, when we talk about values alignment with BTA a lot, it was like getting my values aligned. Like, I have high values around supporting people and helping them go after their goals. And I was doing that in the contracting business, but what BTA does, I just saw, I was like, wow. The more I learned about it, it just really aligned with who I am as a person, how I want to sow into people, help them grow, help them achieve their goals. So it's been an amazing, amazing journey that kind of has brought me to sitting down with you. So
I see this too, like for our coaches who have been in their own businesses prior to going out and coaching others, like there is a level of grit and determination and raw, just like experience that you can never get from a textbook. Like, what are some things that have influenced you as your coach, as a coach today, from like what you were doing previously running your own organization?
Yeah. So I have a business degree background, but ended up meeting some investors, I guess, 8 or 9 years ago that had bought a company called WeatherGuard Gutters up here in the Vancouver area. And so it's a gutter company, services Lower Mainland. We grew that company to about $6.5 million, about 25 staff. And I had the opportunity to run the operations and eventually become the general manager of that company. So full P&L responsibility for the day-to-day operations of that business. And it was an amazing experience, a challenging experience. I met those guys right when they bought this business. It was a 30-year-old business. And they bought this business and sort of were taking that over and learning how to do it, and then ended up working in these roles. And when I came in, my business background wasn't in construction. It was in, I was in healthcare before that, lots of sales stuff, but never in the construction field. So I really had this opportunity to go in, and I couldn't be the person with all the answers because I didn't actually know how to do it, right? Like, I actually had to rely on the team that was around me, rely on the staff that was there, amazing people, to be able to grow that business. But it needed systems, it needed processes, it needed that opportunity to grow. And when we discovered BTA, 3.5 years into it, and probably like 4 years into my journey with them, it was a huge asset, just our ability to grow as a team, to put that together, to understand what does it mean to be successful and not have it be, everything relying on one person, which we see so often when we coach, like these businesses get built around one person, and they needed to grow out of that. And so thankful for BTA. It was really helpful in that space.
So you're now a coach, you're on the other side of the equation. How do you think that experience like influenced even how you work with your members?
It's incredibly helpful because when I sit down, and one of the things that we work with is called the Master Business Plan file. For those that don't know it, like, it's this massive document and it takes quite a bit of work to build it out. But it's a massive asset to you as a business owner, right? It actually helps you. But for me to be able to sit there and be like, I've been in your shoes. I know how challenging it is to like actually build this, the work that goes into building this, but I can also tell you, you know, how much value this is going to give you over the years. Like, it's incredibly valuable. Your ability to be able to make decisions, to understand what's going on in your business, to get a pulse of what's happening on like a regular basis. And then I can talk about things like the Winter Summit. I had the opportunity to go to a Winter Summit as a member and be like, hey, I know this is an investment of your time and effort and energy. You're going to go away from your family and your finances, but I can be like, I've been there. And the value is absolutely outstanding. I've never seen anything like it in all the other business things that I've been a part of. I've never been at anything like the Winter Summit. And so when I bring that sort of my own perspective to the table, I think it carries a lot of weight because I sat in their chair.
Right? Totally. You're kind of like, I know we're going to go through some change management here together. And I know that there's going to be some objections. And I already know what they are because I've been through them. And I'm telling you. We're doing this.
It took me a couple of years to get to the Winter Summit, right? I had young kids, right? Running a business and like, how do you take a week off and go to somewhere, you know, around the world and invest this time, effort, and money? But that, you know, or even building out the MVP file, like how do you carve out the time in your day as running the day-to-day operations of business to focus on the business instead of being in the business? I had to learn all of those things that they're coming to BTA to learn.
All those catchphrases, and we hear them all the time in the marketplace, but like they're all great in theory. But the reality is like the real actual implementation of this stuff and the experience you go through is what ultimately matters. So
yes,
yeah, that's awesome. So I know when we were setting this up, we went back and forth on different things we could chat about. There's so many different things. I had one major question and I'm stoked to get in this. It was like, what is it that causes us to just ignore mindset and just like try and forge forward? Like what are you seeing with your members when they just do this? What happens?
Because they don't know any other way, right? Like you, if you've not really thought about it or not been exposed to it or taught about how to kind of frame your mindset and how that changes the way you view the world. If you're just, you've been taught like, hey, if I just try this, and then it's kind of like whack-a-mole, right? Like you go from one strategy to the next strategy to the next strategy, but you don't actually stick with anything long enough to see if it's going to have, you know, fruit. You know, you get away from trusting the process that you actually came up with at the beginning of the year. Like when we lay out plans, we don't just lay out goals. We lay out plans for how we're going to get there. Right. And you got to actually like do that work and then trust the process and put in the activity and actually wait to see the results. Sometimes inside the first 90 days it's too small of a window to see if you're actually going to win, if the things that you're working on are actually winning, but you're pulling the plug too soon and you want to try something else.
We all have what I call entrepreneur ADD.
Right.
Another darn distraction.
Yeah. And another darn distraction. Everybody's looking for the silver bullet, right? And it's like, oh, well, if I work with these guys, you know, this is the answer.
100%. So you're working on mindset with a lot of them, which is interesting, which is good. And it's actually not necessarily everything that we're doing with our members on a standard basis. So you're taking a lot of steps to go do this. What are you utilizing to kind of support them in this? What are the concepts? What are the ideas that you're kind of approaching to help bring them through just having a better mindset towards their organization and their goals and their business?
You kind of have to, first you got to start by just helping them recognize the importance of it. Like sometimes I will bring that up and I'll be like, hey, I think we need to just think about the way you're viewing this right in the moment. And you have to help them understand the impact that it's having on their organization. So when things aren't going well, and I'll meet with a member and the signs of that are like, they come in, they're overwhelmed, right? They're kind of feeling like they're on the edge of burnout. They're starting to be like, was this a good idea? You know, like the classic entrepreneurial, like maybe I should go do something else. Maybe I should just go get a job, even though no one would hire them, right? Like you're like, but you kind of have this. And I don't think that they understand the full impact all the time of that mindset trickles down and flows through their team, right? And it actually really impacts the way that they make decisions. So first of all, I kind of have to just help them recognize like, hey, there's a better way for really good reasons, because you're probably impacting your team in ways that you don't even realize. Like you're frustrated, so they're frustrated. Now you're frustrated with your team because nobody's making progress. Like it's this sort of cascading down effect. So I have to start by being like, hey, look, if we can fix this, it actually has massive implications, not just for you as the entrepreneur, it has massive implications for your whole team, right? If that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think everyone, and me included, is like you misrepresent exactly like how bad things actually are. So people are kind of like, we can read this on you. And you're kind of like, no, we're fine. Like, it's all good. Like and it's like, no, that energy is spreading out to the rest of your team and it's affecting people in ways you probably don't feel or understand. I know this all day long. I always say to people, I live my heart on my sleeve and I can't even hide it. So it's who I am.
Yeah.
And for good and for bad, right?
Yeah, for the good or the bad. And I think if we think, sometimes we think as entrepreneurs or when you're in that leadership seat, like that your team doesn't know when you're stressed or doesn't know when you're like freaking out about something. They know. They absolutely know. They can tell whether you wear your heart on your sleeve or not, but they can tell when you're stressed and they're less likely to come to you because they're like, oh man, don't go to Jason today. Like he's on edge today, right?
It's kind of, it becomes almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like you start to get into that mindset and then people read that mindset and then it starts to cascade into itself. So,
yeah, absolutely.
So, and go ahead.
So I was going to say, so once I can kind of get that in place, one of the concepts that I've loved sharing with people over the last kind of handful of months is this idea of the gap versus the gain. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that book, but it's by Dan Sullivan and Dr. Benjamin Hardy. And it just frames the way of like, how do we look at where we are on a day-to-day basis and how are we measuring success? And so I use that as a tool to help people sort of ask better questions of themselves so that they can put themselves into a better mindset.
So explain this a little more, like what is the gap versus the gain? What are the what's the concept? I've seen the book, Dan Sullivan. I will admit I have not read it. If, you know, layman's terms, Danny Kerr listening right now, how would you explain what this even is?
So Dan lays it out in such a way. He talks about how do you measure success? So there's two ways that he talks about it. And the first way is this, what he calls the gap, living in the gap. And when you think about it, well, we set these goals and we have these ideals of who we want to be as a business owner, the business that we want to have. And it's measuring success by saying, here's where I am, but here's where I'd like to be. And then you measure the distance from where you are today to where you'd like to be in the future. You're measuring that gap. And when you do that, you're kind of always a little bit unhappy, right? Like you're never there. We never reach that ideal. We're always moving the goalposts naturally as a person. And so you're in this place of sort of dissatisfaction because you're in the gap. You're in this, you're seeing this massive gap between where you are and where you'd like to be. So what he talks about in this concept, what I found incredibly powerful is when you live in what he calls the gain, is you're actually starting from a place of happiness. You're actually saying, hey, you know what? I'm happy in with where I am right now. I have goals, things that I'm pushing towards, but those are not going to determine my happiness. I really like that. Like I'm not happy when I hit my goal. I'm happy now. I'm joyful now, blessed now where I am right now. And as we go after those goals, yeah, that's awesome. But I'm actually living the present moment now. And then how I'm measuring my success is how much have I gained since I started, since the beginning of this? Like if you were to measure, yeah, BTA's got great goals for the future. You've shared some of those with us, right? I'm excited about that. But if you're constantly measuring your success based on how far away we are from where we'd like to be 5 years from now, compared to look at the incredible organization that's been built over the last 10 years. That's absolutely amazing. Look at how many people have been helped and encouraged and built businesses that have made jobs that is, you know, changing the economy, right? Like for so many people's lives. And what an amazing gain. Just that discussion right there, right? That mindset, that how you look at the world when you're living in the gain is totally different.
This is like every, not even entrepreneur, every person I know does this. North America does this.
For sure.
Like, yes. I always think like that simple concept of like, we have already won the genetic lottery because we were born in North America. We already have more than 90% of the planet and we still feel inept. We still feel we're not good enough. We still feel we haven't quite made it. And there's an interesting, have you ever heard the documentary Happy? Have you ever seen that documentary before?
Yeah, that sounds familiar. It's an old, I feel like maybe I did see that.
Yeah, it's an old Netflix one. And it talks about this concept of like, our happiness set point rises dramatically when we get the basics, shelter, food, you know, water, all this. And once we have that, we have these momentary blips of happiness when we get something more, but then it goes back to normal set again. Or when we lose that, we go down into depression, but then we'll go back to normal set again. And it did a study on people who won the lottery and people who went to prison and how their happiness was impacted over time. And ultimately, the people that won the lottery were way happier in the beginning, obviously, than the people who went to prison. Sure. Right.
Yeah.
But they had more to lose and they had less to gain and they got more afraid of the loss of what they had and went into deep depression and long term were much less happy human beings than the people who went to prison who had lost most everything and they had nothing but things to look forward to. They're forward.
Right. Yeah. It's you're learning in that and this example, like it's perspective. And I don't think that we take enough time to reframe our perspective on what's happening.
Right. So let's dissect this a little bit. I would love to just understand. So you're working with some members. How many members are, this is kind of going on with you right now. How many members are you working on this with?
Well, I talked to one yesterday and this morning, but let's just say of the 25, I'm having active conversations with this about 10 of them on any given time. So,
yeah, so this is not a small number. This is a large representative sample of your people. So how do you even spot the gap? Like, how do you spot it with them? How do they spot it? Like, what's going on where you say, hey, this actually might be a bit of a thing and we should have a chat?
Yeah. So when they're coming in and to the meetings and opportunities for us to connect, and their big things I'm looking for are overwhelm and that they're feeling like they're close to burnout. The next thing that kind of shows up is they're really frustrated with their team, right? So they're coming in and they're just like, I don't know if I can do all of this. And they come in, you could say, maybe not depressed, but they're definitely in that kind of headspace where it's like, woe is me in a moment. And that's a really dangerous spot to be.
When you look at their decision-making at this time, like how is this impacting their overall just decisions and things that may be coming to you with for questions and things they want to move forward on? Like, is it different than when they weren't stressed? I imagine it is, but just like curious, like what kind of decisions are they making and how are they trying to move about it on their own?
So it's probably been one of the most surprising things as I've worked on this with some members was I didn't recognize I knew, obviously, I want you to be in a better headspace, right? As I coach you, I want you to be in a better headspace, more positive. I know the benefits of the team. I didn't realize how much of an impact this actually has on decision-making. So one of the tactics that I'll use, and I took it from the book, was if somebody's coming into that meeting and maybe we've had a couple meetings where they're frustrated, they're having a tough time, I'll just start the meeting with, hey, just really quick, before we dive into what you got on your agenda today, can you tell me what your top three wins were for the last week? It sounds incredibly simple, but it's incredibly powerful because it shifts your headspace. And I guarantee there's wins in every business. Everybody on this call could take a minute right now. What are your three wins over the last week and shift the way you're viewing the world? And then when we do that and we just recognize those wins, pick up on those things, and then we start to ask the questions of, hey, what should we do next? Or how can we look at this situation or problem? All of a sudden, our mindset is like actually focused on finding solutions as compared to just unpacking problems.
It is very easy to get into a problem mindset, right? Where it's just like, here's all the problems. I got them all. They're totally. All.
Yeah. Let me write them all down. And let me write down the next 20 because there's a million, right?
And it turns into, if that's all you do, I've seen this, it turns into what I call like wound bonding, where it's just like, I just want to talk about my problems and I want you to listen to my problems. And unfortunately, if it stops there, it's not a good place to stay, right? So
yeah, it becomes really dangerous.
You're getting into like, okay, well, if this is the problems, like what are the actual solutions to all these things?
And if you're in the mindset of starting with what's working in your business, like if you can focus on those things first, then when you go to approach the problems, you're coming at it from a different space. You're like, hey, yeah, there are great things happening in this business right now. So like a great example. So I'm working with this member. They had a really tough January. Okay. But there was one really bright spot. They had one massive sale, but the owner didn't actually let his team really know about that until like a month and a half later. And when he did, it was really interesting because his team was like, oh, wow, that's amazing. Thank you for sharing that with us because we thought that we were in real trouble because of all of the other problems going on in the business, which the owner was focusing on, right? The owner was very focused on all these other problems and kind of neglected to share the big win that they'd had. And all of a sudden the team's like, oh, wow, you know, it's not actually all the end of the world over here. Like there are good things happening, which carried forward. And then they're like, oh, now all of a sudden they're in that space where it's like, we have positive momentum. Like you can't underestimate the power of positive momentum inside a business.
You ultimately create your own reality based on what you focus on.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's such an interesting, I've heard this. Everyone's heard this before. It's like, you know, have positive ways of thinking and the world will work out for you. Sure. And people are like, that sounds really like for me, even it's like, that sounds kind of fluffy, kind of off. Like, I don't know, like, is the universe really there? Like, I just like I am a very concrete human. So I struggle with that. But you know where I have seen it? Looking at how you get waited at tables. Have you ever thought this? And I was a waiter way back when I was younger, and I just think about it now. I'm being waited on. But like, you could have a great waitress, or you could have two great waitresses. They both do a really good job. They get your food on time. Everything kind of comes in as you expect it. One's kind of grumpy the whole time and assumes you don't really like them. And the other one is having a great day and they're super cheery. Who gets the bigger tip?
The happy one.
And this is the like, what you're putting out into the world with your team, with your vendors, with your customers, that vibe is what's coming right back at you. And then you're just like, man, 100%. The world is a tough place. It's like, yeah, because you're making it that way.
It So true. And I totally understand what you're saying with the, you know, this sounds a little bit fluffy, this sounds a little bit airy fairy. And so I try to get really practical with it, with the members that I'm, when I'm working with them, because at the end of the day, I get to chat with them for an hour, maybe once a week. But if I can shift their mindset in that hour and then they can get to work, then we're winning. This isn't taking like, it's not like you're doing a whole ton of positive mindset exercises for hours and hours every day. It's like, no, we just got to get your mindset right so that then you can get to work in the right mindset. Just like you said. So the server at the beginning of their shift, if they can get their mindset right, they're going to have a way better shift, right? They're not spending 2 hours listening to positive affirmations in the car before they start serving other people. They just come in with that positive mindset and get to work. And there's a couple things like that question of, hey, what are the three wins, right? That's one of the big things out of this book. Like, count your wins, celebrate your wins, celebrate your wins with your team.
So let's dive a bit more into that. Like, how do you start to bring your members into more of a gain mindset? And what are some of the things you've seen and done that worked? But like, generally, those who are listening, like, what are some things they can do? They're probably driving right now in their truck, or they're listening to their office. What are some things we can do to just be like, I need to be more in a gain mindset. I got to get out of this gap.
Yeah, I think the first thing, like saying like that, but you actually have to just first understanding there is a difference. You're either in the gap or you're in the gain. We naturally tend towards the gap. So when you find yourself frustrated, right, in a moment, like, man, I'm really frustrated. Things aren't going the way that I planned. Pausing and recognizing that is the first step. You got to be like, hey, this actually isn't okay. And I can actually do something about it. But just recognizing it to start is a huge, huge step. And so when you're like, man, I'm really focused on how my team is not performing, you know, all the things that they're not getting done, right? And or the fact that everything's behind, great. Pause and stop and go, you know what? I think I'm in the gap right now. Maybe I need to shift this up a little bit. And what is going well? What are they doing well? What are their strengths? Why are they still on my team? Right? Like they have great strengths. They have great quality if we're talking team members. But sometimes it's really easy to focus on, it's not sometimes, it's always really easy to focus on what they're not good at. But it takes a specific mental skill to say, but here's what they're really good at. And I want to pour into that.
Yeah, I struggle with this thing you just you alluded to right in the beginning, which is slow down. Slow down. You know, it was, I'll tell you a funny story. I remember this was on just some mindset stuff I was doing on just being present. And so I was reviewing an audiobook while rushing to the office and while putting the audiobook on 1.5 speed. And it was kind of talking about being present in the moment and slowing down and being a part of even just like what they're talking me through in this book. And I'm just listening to myself even doing this. And I'm like, I am an idiot. Like I'm rushing to the office 1.5 speed on this podcast.
Lying down the field.
This is ridiculousness. Because we get ourselves in these patterns of move, 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 move. And we feel safe because we move, 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 move. But we miss this ability to kind of reflect and actually course correct.
Yep. And you can do it really practically, like with your team. If you have team meetings every week, like imagine you got a team meeting every week, just add to the agenda right at the beginning of the agenda. Everybody shares a win from the previous week. Like it doesn't have to be a major overhaul of what you do, but a little intentionality to slow down and recognize the wins has a massive impact.
So let's get into this a little bit with some of your members. You said you're working with 10 right now on this. Can we talk like tactfully and like specific some of the stuff that you're actually doing? We don't have to put names in, but like what actually is going on? Like what's the situation? How are you working through it? What are some of the shifts you've seen? Somebody maybe you've worked through it and had some pretty cool success. Like what actually step-by-step is going on and to the point where they're through it and you're like, look at this, we did it.
Yeah, there's one member specifically, we won't name names, but we got to the end of this last year and I noticed that he was really coming. He was really just, he missed his goals, basically, let's say. So not by a massive amount, but he missed his goals, what he'd set. And he was pretty kind of upset about it and kind of bummed out about it. And I was like, okay, this is interesting because from my perspective, he had outperformed his previous year, had finally been profitable for the first time, right? Like he had all these wins that he wasn't recognizing. And it was, so we just had to do a pause and a reset and say, hey, let's walk back through the year and just look at the wins, right? Okay, great. And then that was the first one. It was like, okay, this is really interesting. And I watched him sort of shift as the way he looked at his team, the way he was looking at the next year. He was a little bit more excited about the possibilities. And then he came in later in the year, in the early new year, and he had some really aggressive goals for his year ahead, right? Again, he sets aggressive goals. I'm all for aggressive goals. But we had a really frank conversation was, hey, I'm all for aggressive goals as long as we both agree that we set the aggressive goals and we choose to live in the game. Like, we're going to measure your success not by how far away you are from that goal, but by on the progress that you make, right? And it's been interesting. So we talked about him, and then we do these group coaching calls. And those two members have also talked about this concept together. And now they're calling each other out on when they see wins in each other's business that they believe need to be celebrated. So they're doing the work. They're saying, hey, that's pretty awesome. You should celebrate that with your team as compared to just focusing on where the gaps are in their business. Because inevitably there's gaps in each of their businesses, right? But they're actually calling each other out, being like, hey, that's a pretty awesome win. Did you notice that? Are you celebrating that? Wow, you actually did more than you thought in that part of your business than you planned for. And that's been huge. That's been incredibly powerful.
When we talked previously too, you had mentioned to me just how you're bringing, he's this member, it's a different one. It's like how they brought it to their team, where the goals were more within the control of the team. Can you speak a little bit to that and how they actually kind of like laid this out?
Trying to remember specifically what we talked about, but there are a couple members where I've talked about when they put their goals to their team and they're creating like a theme around it that they're going to choose to celebrate the wins. So there's a member that came to me last year, heart on his sleeve. He said, hey, look, I don't know if I want to run this business anymore. It's a legacy family business. He's like, there are people here. They just come in, they punch out. Like nobody's really engaged. And we had to get everybody on the same page of what does it mean to win inside the organization. So he did a great job of creating this theme inside of his business. They put up the world's ugliest, you know, paper cardboard thermometer up on the wall. And every week when they had their team meetings, I love it. It's like, I should show you the picture. It's the best thing ever. And they would like color in as they made progress towards this goal. And what happened was it blew him out of the water. All of a sudden his team was celebrating these wins every week and everybody was engaged in working towards this goal. And I think sometimes we forget that as entrepreneurs, we'll put a goal in front of our team, but then we don't actually mention it again. Right? Like we'll lay it out. We'll be like, okay, guys, here's the goal for the next 12 weeks. And then they don't talk about it again until the end of the 12 weeks. And it's like, oh, by the way, we missed. It's like that happens all the time. But like, how do you put goals in front of your people and then celebrate the progress, help them celebrate the gains as we work towards these goals? And when you come out of that way and then celebrate it at the end with, going bowling, going whatever, like, I got a guy's working on it right now. He's like, at the end of March, they're all going fishing because they hit their goal as a team. It's brings everybody together and helps your team think in that gain mindset.
When you're coming out of the gap, moving to a gain, what types of goals should we be setting? Are these like the big revenue goals? Are these like activity goals? Like what types of goals are the right types to be setting?
Yeah, when I'm working with members, I'm seeing a lot of wins in setting a goal for an organization over about a 90-day period that is something that you can measure that everybody in the team can influence. So those are kind of the criteria that I'm really trying to work with folks right now on. Can we find a goal that everybody can work towards? So it could be, we're looking to generate X number of referrals this month, or we need to get X number of estimates into the field. We're looking to generate Google reviews, things that can be measured, but things that everyone can influence. And if you think about those things long enough, you can find a way for everybody to influence, how many estimates we actually create a month, because from the person that answers the phone to the person that's in the field, they always have the opportunity to help the team generate more estimates. Or if it's, hey, we got to get things done on time and on budget. Great. Well, everybody from estimation all the way through production in the office helps to make sure that everything flows smoothly so that things hit budgets. Like you kind of tie those things in together and then bring everybody around that goal. I really like the 90-day period because it's long enough to make change in the business, but not so long that the goal becomes tough to talk about every week. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So yeah. With 90 days, it's not too short. It's not too long. And then it sounds like you're saying kind of more activity-based goals than just like numerical hitting of numbers. It's like if we're all working on this and doing the activity behind it, the numbers will come.
Yeah. There was a great podcast last year with Braden from our team, where he talks about leading and lagging indicators. I definitely would prefer to have a goal based on a leading indicator. Leading indicator being like how many leads or estimates were we able to generate as compared to how many sales did we have? Because there's often way more control and ability to influence a leading indicator than there is a lagging indicator. So we can get ahead of it. We can actually, people on the team actually know how they can influence those goals and they understand what that looks like. So they can do the work and actually see how it impacts their day to day.
Got it. Now, one thing I want to point out in all of this, and some people would understand this, some people may not, but you yourself take on a lot, right? So you've got these members, you're working through all these things in their organizations. You yourself, I'm sure, just take on a lot as a business coach, as a person who really, I know, cares a ton about everybody you help through all these processes. How do you implement stuff like this in your own life?
It's a good question because you're right. When you're going from one call to the next and, you know, you're coaching these businesses and like some of the biggest wins of being a coach have been watching people win, right? Like just watching the change happen in their business and being so excited about the amazing things that are happening. But let's be honest, with 25 businesses, that's not happening all the time. I don't get to connect on the same level with every person that I get to coach all the time, you know, good calls and not great calls. And so there can be days where it's like, oh man, that was a really tough call. Like I don't feel like we maybe got the progress that I was hoping for. Or maybe I wasn't able to help them in such a way that I wanted to, but I have to measure the gains. I have to look back and be like, hey, you know, but look overall holistically for the, almost a year that I've been with the company. And I look back and I'm like, wow, yeah, those people have had some amazing growth. So it's really easy to focus on the things that aren't going well, like we talked about, like the call that didn't go well or the member that decided that, you know, BTA wasn't for them for whatever the reason was. But I can get stuck there or I can focus on, hey, what's really going well? So when I find a concept like the gap and the gain and see some win with that with somebody, I try to like make sure I'm remembering that and applying that and learning, helping other members learn about that. Like when I learn about things that help one member, how do I help other members learn about that? So that's been the biggest thing because there are a lot of different scenarios that are going on inside of every single day, right? As you talk to people.
And why do you think you've latched onto this concept? Why do you think, you've told me too, this is like what a lot of your members are, it's working for them. It's helping them think through this. Why this concept over so many different, you know, mindset topics, books you could read? Why this one?
I think it aligns well with an entrepreneur because entrepreneurs, we say we want happiness, but an entrepreneur is driven to want to do more. They want to create change, right? Like, why did you start a business? Because you're looking to make change. And they're, when you talk to somebody about, hey, are you happy right now? And they're like, no, because I'll be happy when I'm a X million dollar business. I'm like, well, no, you probably won't because you're still going to face challenges at, you know, $10 million. They're just bigger challenges because then you had it five. People don't necessarily always realize that. So we have to find a way. And when you talk to people about, hey, let's choose to recognize where we are and be in the moment and be happy now, and then build towards those big things. I think that really resonates with an entrepreneur. Like, I think they're like, yeah, I can make that decision. I can actually make that choice to recognize the blessings that I have in my life, the wins that are happening in my life right now. And I think that resonates with people.
I think too, by default, a lot of entrepreneurs that start these businesses are visionaries. I think that they live in the future a lot. That's kind of how they see the world. And me included, and a lot of the people we've worked with at BTA, we just like, we struggle to be present and to be thankful for where we are because we always see what could be and we're obsessed with it. And it's actually what's created all the success around us. So we're like, why would you ever try to take that from me? But at a certain point, if all you're doing is living in the future, you're never going to actually have a life because you're always waiting for what comes. And for those who are listening, I'm sure all of you have seen this in your own self where you're like, when I get here, when I get there, I bet you 10 years ago, if you had told yourself where you are today, you would be blown away by the progress you had made,
100%,
who you've become and what you've done. And your 10 years ago self would be super stoked to see you doing exactly what you're doing, even with all the problems. But you've changed that. Now you're thinking about 10 years from now. I call it the great mirage. Like you're always in the desert walking towards an invisible target. So Jason, this is awesome. Before we close, I want to know, like, what's one piece of advice that you would have for our listeners? They're sitting maybe in their truck right now. They're sitting in their office. They're feeling it, man. They're feeling the gap. And they're just like, oh, what would you want to say to them?
I would say just take right now, like you said, slow down, pause the podcast, for 5 minutes and write down 3 wins from the last week. What are the 3 wins in your business from this last week? Come back and then go to tackle what it is that was in front of you. It's going to change the way you look at what you're facing. So that would be my biggest thing that I would ask people to do.
That's awesome. I have a slight, it reminds me of just like a slightly different version of something I do probably once a week because I need to remind myself of this, called the gratitude statement. And it's just like, what am I grateful for? Because
yes,
what I have found, and somebody's much smarter than me told me this once, they said, Danny, gratitude is the great like dissolver of stress. And I think it actually quite literally dissolves like the cortisol levels in your body and helps you get back to like a normal chemical balance. And so it's just like reminding myself, like, what am I actually grateful for? Because most of the things I'm grateful for, I didn't have to pay for. I don't owe any money to. It's like my kids and my health and my wife and the people I work with at BTA and the culture we have here. And it's like those things are non-transactional, funny enough. Those things were all free. It's actually the things that I have to pay money for or get money from that cause me a lot of stress.
Cause you a lot of stress, right?
And so it's just like, true. Cool. Well, if that's the news, like all the things I'm grateful for are free. So why don't I just embrace those things? Because those are never going away.
Yeah. Gratitude, so incredibly powerful. And we see that in our personal lives and we probably have all are aware of that, but like it's kind of taking that. And this is thinking at it from a business perspective. It's like, yeah, well, are you grateful for the things that are happening and going well in your business?
This is what you've been saying the whole time. So
yeah.
Jason, amazing. Thank you for getting into this with us. A bit more on mindset Absolutely. Today and a bit more on kind of where we're at mentally as entrepreneurs. But like you said, this is the root of everything when you go out and try and conquer the world. So thanks, Jason.
Thanks
have a good week.
Me.
And I'll see you guys all later.
Talk soon.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Contractor Evolution. If you've already subscribed to our podcast, consider sharing this episode with another contractor that you think needs to hear it.